You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
What comes to mind when you think of Portland, Oregon? Feminist bookstore owners, aggressive environmentalists, pretentious hipsters? Well, you're not alone, and maybe that's why they're among the Portland characters being lampooned in a new mini-comedy series called Portlandia, which was created, written, and stars Fred Armisen of Saturday Night Live fame and Carrie Brownstein, a musician and music writer. The show premieres on IFC this coming Friday, January 21st at 10:30 p.m., and I'm very pleased that it brings Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
I want to start right off with a little clip from the show, okay?
Sounds good.
Hey, did you guys read that thing in The New Yorker last month about how golf is an analogy for marriage?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did read that. Do you hear the thing of McSweeney's?
Mm.
I was comparing CD tracks and album tracks. Did you read that?
Yeah. Did you read that thing in Mother Jones about eco chairs and eco ways to sit?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Did you read that thing in Spain about all the festivals?
Did you read that thing in Pace? It was about the National.
Oh, I saw that. Did you see that thing in Dwell about all the mid-century houses?
Yeah. Did you read the New York Times?
Yes.
The New York Observer?
Yes.
Washington Post?
Yes.
Wall Street Journal?
Of course I read it.
Did you read that steampunk article in Boing Boing?
I did not like the end of it.
Did you read that sky writing over the Willamette River?
Yes. Did you read that fortune cookie?
Yes.
From last night?
Yes.
Did you read it?
Yes.
There were two.
Yes. Did you read that thing that guy wrote in the sand on the beach?
Yeah.
Did you read the Portland Mercury?
Yeah.
Did you read the Willamette Week?
Yeah.
Did you read the Seattle Stranger?
Beginning to end.
Did you read the SF Weekly?
I loved it.
The Harvard Lampoon?
Well written.
Did you read Mad Magazine?
I did not like the end of it.
Did you read Kathy?
That was cute.
Did you read Family Circus?
Sure.
Did you read Calvin and Hobbes?
Sure.
Did you read the Boston Globe?
Sure.
Did you read the Washington Blade?
We read it together.
Did you read?
Uh-huh.
Did you read?
Mm-hmm.
Did you read?
Of course I did.
You know, you were squirming while that was on. I was laughing and you were squirming.
I don't usually, you know, this is the first time I've heard it.
It's really good. Now, that's all written, I imagine. It would be hard to do all of that improvised.
Well, we do a long version of it, and it was edited down to have that rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's improvised to an extent.
And you say you haven't watched it? You haven't watched the show?
I have.
I haven't watched – I didn't see that one.
Really? It's online.
Wow.
IFC put it up, by the way.
Did you plan on doing a show about Portland from the start, or was the idea to work together on something?
The first idea was to work together on something. Initially, we just wanted to work together and make short videos and
the Thunder Ant videos.
Thunder Ant. And that was just for ourselves. That, you know, we put it online, but the only audience we were thinking of was, would we like it? And eventually that turned into the show.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Did IFC see them and say we might do a show out of this?
No, we'd been doing the Thunder Ant videos for 5 years, and in 2010 we decided that we just wanted to formalize the process. We had compiled nearly 14 videos, and we decided that just for the sake of, you know, making it more intentional. So we pitched it to IFC. They were the first people we brought it to, and they were very receptive.
Are these characters based on people you've met in Portland? I don't want to ask about the old autobiographical question.
No, it's nothing. It's no one specific. They really are just versions of ourselves.
Hmm.
So it's pretty much us, but then for a framework, we would think about, like, who are some people that we see in Portland once in a while? For example, that bicycle rights guy. There's a guy who's like a righteous bicycle guy, and I felt like I saw a lot of those. That's very bicycle friendly, Portland.
Well, we have bicycle rights people here too. Do you think that there's something unique about Portland? How different is it from Seattle or San Francisco or nearby Corvallis, for that matter?
I mean, I think that Portland maintains a uniqueness despite being representational of a progressive ideology and this sort of incessant optimism and spirit of entrepreneurship that exists in Williamsburg, in Austin, Texas, in Seattle, in San Francisco. And I think it's just sort of the apex of that kind of spirited, you know, just lifestyle where people value, you know, quality of life over the amount of hours they work, or they'd rather live in a group house and pay only $300 a month than, you know, work 60 hours a week and try to afford a mortgage. So it's this very livable city with an undying optimism that you don't find elsewhere.
The opposite of Seattle, which is your hometown, where people are workaholics?
No, I mean, I think that Seattle is in some ways, I mean, I think it does. It has a little more of a cosmopolitan vibe in Seattle. I actually think Seattle is a more self a shared city than Portland. I think one of the interesting things about Portland is how kind of self-reflective it is. And it's just like this meta city that people are so concerned about whether what we're doing is actually good or not. Seattle's just like, no, we're fine. We're fine.
Well, in the show, the mayor of Portland is working to overcome the city's inferiority complex, especially concerned about Seattle. There's a music video in the first episode called Portland Dream of the 90s. Is the dream dead? What was the dream of the 90s?
Oh, the dream is alive. It's the dream is like that sort of utopia where people just started getting very tribal and started having some tribal tattoos and piercings and dreadlocks. And it was just like this aesthetic that just seemed to be about like, we're going to create the perfect world. And I feel like there's something utopian about Portland.
Despite the weather.
No, especially because of the weather. I am a huge not fan of the sun. I like it cloudy, and mostly because I like to wear jackets.
It said Portland is a place where young people go to retire. Is that true? Is that still true?
Yeah, you know, you go to college for 4 years, and you're tired, and you're like, I'm done with this. And then you go and retire.
Now, both of you, your backgrounds are in music. Carrie, you're still working in music?
Yeah, I was in a band called Slater Kinney for about 10 or 11 years, and I took a couple years off and have a new band called Wild Flag.
And had you done any acting or comedy before you teamed up with Fred?
I had done acting when I was a kid, before music sort of took a hold of me and wrestled me to the ground. I did theater and a little bit of acting. But it wasn't until Fred and I were doing Thunder Ant that I really explored improvisation with comedy.
And Fred, didn't you start off as a drummer?
I did. I spent a lot of time playing in a band and touring. And I played drums for Blue Man Group in Chicago. So I spent, a lot of time.
So how did you wind up on Saturday Night Live playing Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, David Paterson, and President Obama? Did you get started in Portland?
No. From music in the late 90s, I just started doing just some videos, just sort of pranks where I'd interview people as different characters. And that just opened all these doors to doing it for HBO. And eventually, before I knew it, that's what I was doing full time. It happened fairly quickly.
But did you meet as musicians?
Yeah.
Yeah, we knew each other as musicians and of each other. But I think we actually formally met when Fred had just started on Saturday Night Live and I was on tour coming through New York.
I'm talking with Carrie Brownstein and Fred Armisen, who are the writers and creators and stars of Portlandia, a six-part comedy series that will be premiering on IFC this coming Friday. Two of the characters on the show, Peter and Nance, are locavores who take ethical eating to a whole new level. You want to tell us about them?
First of all, this is the first time I've heard that word, locavores.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's sort of like an it word right now. You only eat food that's grown in a certain radius.
You never heard that before?
I've never heard that word before. Can that happen in Manhattan somewhere?
Yeah, of course.
Of course, there is a lot of locavores in Manhattan.
Wow. Yeah, don't you remember that?
We have green markets, farmers markets.
Okay, how about Upper West Side of Oars? Can I keep it that local?
Yeah.
Well, people are growing their own stuff here as well. Yeah.
That's
in fact,
amazing.
I've done shows with people who keep their own chickens in the city.
Really?
Yeah.
And they make these gardens, and they turn their walls into gardens. Vegetable
really?
Gardens. Yeah. You got to start reading the New York Times.
Okay. Well, anyway, tell us about Peter and Nance.
So Peter and Nance are a couple very much in love with one another and very much in love with and obsessed, as a lot of characters on Portlandia are, with this idea of knowing where their food comes from. And like a lot of sketches in Portlandia, it starts out with a very sort of specific, realistic scenario where they're at a restaurant and they just need to know where all the food came from, but in a hyper-specific way. So it's not just what farm it is, but what was the quality of the life of this chicken? What was his name? And from there, as many of the sketches do, it goes into something absurd and then absolutely surreal.
There's also Tony and Candace, the aging hippie couple who run a feminist bookstore. A bookstore is still alive and well in Portland?
That one's a real bookstore. And the set that you see in that, all the signs and everything are very real. And It's a really incredible place. They were very friendly and very nice to let us use it.
Mm-hmm. Portland is, as we like to call it, City of Books. We have Powell's, the largest independent bookstore in the U.S., so very well-read city.
I was pleased to learn that the chicken that they were about to eat was named Colin.
Isn't that reassuring?
There's also another couple, Bryce Shivers and Lisa Eversmith, who put birds on things. What inspired that?
That's an observation that Carrie made while we were writing the show, that birds seem to appear on all kinds of products now. It's a sort of shorthand for art. So you'll just see it on bags and pants and stuff. And I kind of fell for it. That's when I knew it was a real thing. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I do have things that have birds on, printed on them.
We have to take a little break, and we'll come back with more. My guests are Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein. We're talking about Portlandia, a six-part comedy series that premieres this Friday on IFC. We're talking with Fred Armisen, who is best known, I guess, now because of Saturday Night Live. Carrie Brownstein, best known for the bands that she's been in, although Fred was in Trenchmouth for a while.
I was.
A band that... was wiped out by a mouthwash. Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein are the creators of a six-part comedy series that will be premiering on IFC this coming Friday night at 10:30. It's called Portlandia. How have you shown it in Portland?
We have.
And how has it been received by the locals?
So far, I think received quite well. I think when we were filming the show and we used almost 100% local crew, you know, we felt like we were running a marathon and being cheered on along the way. And then following that was a bit of skepticism that I wasn't surprised about. But I think since people have actually been able to see the show, I feel like there's a general fondness for it. And if nothing else, it's definitely starting a conversation about who we are as a community. So can't
complain. Fred, you live here most of the time, don't you? You're on Saturday Night Live.
I do. I've only visited Portland. And I've spent fair amount of time there, especially this summer when we were shooting the show.
Mm-hmm. And there is a Saturday Night Live connection because Lorne Michaels is the executive producer?
He is. So that works out in that he's a supporter of the show and he has a lot of input and also schedule-wise. So we were able to shoot over the summer and start the SNL season.
And just six episodes. You could do that on cable. You can't do that on network television. Mm-hmm. Is six all you could eke out, or do you want to do a lot more?
That's all that we had time for this summer. But we want to do many more.
Mm-hmm. A listener wants to know if Sleater-Kinney will ever reunite.
Potentially. Someday.
All bands that break up eventually reunite if people throw enough money at them. Is that the thing that's going to get you guys together?
No, just a true affection for playing together would.
Every band does get back together, don't they?
I know.
Every last one.
I know, and it's not always a good idea. Let's just admit that. It's not always a good idea.
No, of course it's not.
So you have to remember that, too.
Well, there are usually reasons they broke up.
Yeah.
And also that when they existed, it was a matter of like what was around them and the environment and everything. Sometimes it doesn't survive.
Yeah, it gets decontextualized, and all of a sudden it's nostalgia-based, which is not, I don't think, is a good impetus for creating art.
No, or seeing a show.
No.
What about you? You ever still play the drums? When we went on the air, we were playing some music, and you air drummed. Is it called air drummed?
Yeah.
It's air drumivore. I don't know. Once in a while, I mean, I do play once in a while, but that's just like just for enjoyment. I don't think I'll ever formally be in a band or anything like that. I love playing the drums, but I don't think I'll ever do it like professionally.
Well, comedy is a lot about timing. I've always wondered whether, because every drummer I've ever known when I was growing up, my best friend was a drummer who had a nice career and was always very funny. And I always wondered whether there was something about the rhythm of drumming and a sense of just how you tell a joke.
I think they're very related. I also think also that the choice in picking out the drums as an instrument, you know, it's so loud and it gets so much attention that I think there's a little bit of that in there as well. You just want to be sitting there getting...
It's kind of, hey, look at me.
Absolutely.
You could drown out all the other musicians if
that's,
you want
that's
to.
That's all my favorite drummers did.
Yeah, Keith Moon did.
Keith Moon, absolutely. Who was your friend who you were talking about?
Doesn't matter.
Seemed like a time in
the he did play with Janis Joplin and some others.
Oh, great. Yeah. Yeah. Great.
I don't know what he's doing now, and I don't care. You sometimes play with your friend's band, Les Savvy Fav.
Yeah, Les Savvy Fav. I've played on one of their records, and I've done a lot of stuff with them live. And that's easy to walk in and out of because, you know, they already have a band, and they're very nice to let me play with them.
Now, people who start off on Saturday Night Live, make their names on Saturday Night Live, all hope for the career afterward. And some people have had incredible careers afterward. But is this what you envision post-Saturday Night Live?
I can only plan little by little, month to month, year to year. I can't look that far ahead because I never saw Saturday Night Live coming as quickly as it did for me. So I just the only thing I think is like these are projects that I want to work on. I love doing Portlandia. I love working with Carrie and with Jonathan Kreisel. And that's all that matters to me. So my hope is that it can keep going post Saturday Night Live or in conjunction with, in concert with. yeah, that's as far as I think about
it. Well, in this series, of course, you and Carrie are doing the writing. What happens in Saturday Night Live? How much of what you do is written by you and how much is written by the staff writers?
It's a group effort. There's sometimes I write on my own, but it always goes through the filter of the group, which they help, and they help turn things into jokes. And it's definitely we all work together. It's a lot of work.
Well, you wound up being one of the specialists in playing other people. I mean, famous people. Some Saturday Night Live people just do skits, and others become recognizable characters. President Obama is a recognizable character. Is that something that you naturally fell into?
Do you do impressions? Just happened, and the same with characters. It changes almost from show to show. There'll be some shows where I'm doing more impressions, other ones where I'm doing more characters. It just changes.
Well, David Patterson sure took care of you on his one appearance.
Yes.
Of course, the public took care of David Patterson for other appearances.
Yes.
Joan Rivers asked you in the Ready Room what you used to audition for Saturday Night Live. What did you say?
I did a couple of characters. I did Felicito, the South American timbale player. I did a self-defense expert, and I did some impressions. And, you know, they just gave you 5 minutes to do it. I did it there on the stage where the hosts always do the monologues. And I was starstruck to even be in the room. Mm-hmm. It was just incredible for me to have gotten that far. I was like, I can't believe I've gotten this far.
How long does it take before it just becomes a job?
It's pretty sudden. I think on the way to the elevator, we just started having talks about how to make it all work out.
Well, Ferrisita made his film debut in the Wilco movie, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
I'm trying to break your heart.
Yeah. That's the first time I've ever been in a movie. But yeah, that's where because I used to open shows for Jeff Tweedy and for Wilco before I was on the show.
You did the comedy parts and then?
Yeah, yeah. Or the so-called comedy parts.
And Carrie, now, okay, you've been a musician, still are a working musician. You're doing comedy as well. And don't you have a book coming out?
Yeah, after I finish it.
What's it going to be about?
It's about music and technology and how the notion of fandom and community has changed in the course of the last 10 or 15 years with technology. And then my own musical history is kind of the through line. It's called The Sound of Where You Are.
And you're with Wild Flag now, you said?
Mm-hmm.
You also blogged about music for NPR.
I did.
You're not new to radio.
No, I love radio. I love NPR.
And we love the both of you. And we.
I love NPR too. Wait, I love
Wait
it too.
Second.
You want to tell us how much you love NPR?
So much. I've got it on my iPad, and I've got it on Sirius and XM Radio as well.
Mm-hmm. And your tattoo.
And my tattoo.
And we thank you both so much for being with us. I've been talking with Saturday Night Live's Fred Armisen, and Carrie Brownstein, musician, music writer, former NPR music blogger, former member of Sleater-Kinney, now Wild Flag. They have created a six-part comedy series for IFC called Portlandia, which premieres this coming Friday at 10:30. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.